Welcome to the Power Is Now Radio. Your host and founder of the Power Is Now Incorporated, Eric Frazier.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Power Is Now. My name is Eric Frazier, and I'm the president and CEO of The Power Is Now online radio and TV. And tonight is another night of The Power Is Now first-time homebuyer seminar. Thank you for joining us this evening. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be with us at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday night. And what a great opportunity it is for you just to plug in at home or at work from your iPhone, your tablet, your desktop, your laptop, and learn more about how to buy real estate, how to build wealth through real estate, how to get started with the process. All of that takes place here every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. And so I really appreciate those of you who are joining us for the first time, and I pray that tonight will benefit you in numerous ways, especially for those of you who may be in the game already and building wealth and also getting started. If you've already started processing a loan with another lender or even within the Power Is Now, I think the information I'm going to share with you tonight is going to be very helpful to ensure that you close. We have Al Rogers, Tony Bees, in the house. Thank you for joining us tonight. And I want to encourage all of you who are tuning in now to please reach out to your friends, family members, support the Power Is Now show. It's a way to, especially as a real estate professional, to educate and encourage and inspire your buyers to know that they too can buy a home. And folks, we cover everything. You know, I wish that I could do this show maybe several times throughout the day so I could cover more topics. But we cover one topic a week. And if you go to our website, thepowerisnow.com, look under events, you will see Facebook Home Buyer Seminars. And we have listed the topics that we're going to be covering for the next several weeks. So there's no surprises. You can know in advance what I'm going to be talking about, and you can share that information with others, especially if you're a real estate professional and you're working with some clients who've expressed interest in buying a home. Well, you can have them tune in on a particular night if there's a subject that you think would really resonate with them, or you could just have them tune in every night, every Tuesday night, and catch the information, because I promise you, it's good stuff, information that everyone should have when it comes to buying a home. So thank you, Lisa Lombardi. Man, you're with me every single time I'm on. Thank you so much for supporting. Walter Lyles is in the house. Robin Davis, extraordinary real estate professional out of Antioch, California. Al Rogers, holding down Long Beach and Santa Ana. Tony Bees, our Hope Ambassador, is in the house. You guys, please share the video. All right, I want to see 100 shares, 200 shares to everyone you know that is thinking about buying a home. Well, I have a great show tonight. Tonight we're going to be talking about what responsibility do you have as a buyer while in the lending process. So what are your responsibilities as a borrower or buyer in the lending process? And so I've got 15 things that you shouldn't do. All right. We're going to go through that in detail. And I promise you, if you have thought about buying a home or if you're in the game, especially if you're working with the Power Is Now, this definitely is for you. Hey, Liliana in the house. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Please share the video, Liliana, to all your family and friends, anyone interested in buying a home. Well, as I was saying, I'm going to be talking about your responsibilities as a buyer or borrower through the lending process. And the title of it is The 15 Things You Shouldn't Do. All right, 15 things you shouldn't do. Before I get into that, though, I want to just thank again. Man, we just had a fantastic show earlier today. And I want to thank, Grid Alternatives, Natasha Ferguson, for making it possible to interview their marketing director, and he did such a great job. I want to keep calling him Clem, but I believe it's Cliff. That's right, Cliff. Cliff LeBlanc was on this afternoon at 12 o'clock talking about Grid Alternative, which is a low-income program for solar. I mean, there are companies that are offering solar to reduce your, you know, reduce your electric bill to make the home more energy efficient. And it's very expensive. It's financed most of the time. It ties up your property with the tax authority, increases your taxes because it's financed through the tax authority. And it's a nightmare when it comes to selling your home or trying to get a loan, and it's very expensive. Well, you'd be surprised how many people can qualify for this initiative. This is a no-cost, a free, a legitimately free solar program that you can obtain if you meet, if your income does not exceed 80% of the area median income for your area. And it's based on family size. So the more family members you have in the home, I'm talking about not just children, but it could be parents, it could be other people that living in the property, they count that as well. You may qualify for a complete solar system that can have a tremendous impact on your home efficiency and your electric bills. So if you didn't get a chance to watch the program, it's right here on Facebook. Check it out. It was at 12:30 earlier today. I promise you, you're going to be blown away. It's the real deal. It's the real deal. Please check it out. Grid Alternative, Cliff LeBlanc, Natasha Ferguson, you guys are awesome. Thank you for coming on the show for the Power Lunch earlier today at 12:30. Next week at 12:30, I'm going to have the National Association of Real Estate Brokers Executive Director, Anton Thompson, and he's going to be talking about NARAP, Realtors Week, and the contributions of NARAP, the fight both at Capitol Hill here in California and at the nation, I mean, at the White House, what NARAP is doing to make homeownership a reality for low-income minorities, for African-Americans, for people of all color. And so learn more about NARAP next Tuesday at 12:30 right here on The Power Is Now. Next week, on next Tuesday night, I'm going to be talking about what are closing costs and what do they consist of. So often, the first-time homebuyers, when they're getting ready to get started with the process, they see for the very first time a full and complete breakdown of all the closing costs. Well, we're going to go through closing costs line by line next Tuesday night so you can understand truly what are closing costs. Typically, your real estate agent or your mortgage professional will tell you that you have your down payment, which could be 3%, 3.5%, 5%, plus you have closing costs, and that can run between 3 to 4%. Well, what does that closing cost? What does the closing cost consist of, right? So that's what we're going to be talking about next Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, and I'm looking forward to getting into that discussion about closing costs, because it is definitely something that a lot of people don't understand and wish they didn't have to pay, because closing costs can be very, very expensive. So again, I want to thank all of you for joining me tonight. And if you would be so kind to share the link to the show tonight, share it on your personal and your group pages, because this is good information for anyone seeking to buy or sell real estate, in particular tonight, seeking to buy real estate. Now, before I get started, and I almost forgot to do this, for those of you who are joining for the first time, my name is Eric Frazier, and I am the president and CEO of The Power Is Now. The Power Is Now is a media company, and in addition to being a media company, we're also a real estate and a mortgage company. As a media company, we began in 2009 as a teleconference, and then to increase the capacity of our audience, we moved from a teleconference line to online radio. And so we're on Blog Talk Radio. We've been there since April 2011. Over 1 million downloads of our podcast were syndicated to iTunes, TuneIn, and a host of other online radio platforms. So if you have the podcast icon on your cell phone or iPhone, just click on it, type in The Power Is Now. You can find us on just about any online platform. We're also a real estate company, and we're licensed only in the state of California, and The Power Is Now, Inc. is licensed by the Department of Real Estate, and we're licensed also by the federal government to originate loans. And so The Power Is Now Mortgage Services is a division of The Power Is Now, Inc., and our license number is 1-435-243 as a company, and The Power Is Now Mortgage Services is a division of The Power Is Now, Inc., and we are licensed. Let's see, that's our The Power Is Now Mortgage Services is licensed by the MLS, and our license number is 1435243. And the Power Is Now Real Estate Services is licensed by the Department of Real Estate, California Department of Real Estate, and our license number is 1980407. So two divisions that help people find real estate and finance real estate. And these divisions were born really out of the need, you know, through the radio platform, and you also find the magazine and online television. We're sharing information. We're empowering people with information, resources to buy. Now we have the ability to help them just take action, because the power is now, right? And provide them the support to take action on that knowledge to buy now. So I am the broker for both companies. My individual license as a real estate broker for the Power Is Now Real Estate Services is 01143484. And my individual license as the mortgage broker for the Power Is Now Mortgage Services is 461807. 461807. At any time throughout this presentation, you have a question, you want to make a comment, please do so in the chat room. I'd be happy to share it with everyone in the audience. And for those of you who are on Facebook, you'll see the question. And I will try to refresh my screen from time to time. You know how it is with technology, to make sure that I see the questions that you may want to answer. Okay, so I'm going to share my screen right now. I have a PowerPoint presentation in regard to our subject today. And our subject today is, you know, what are my responsibilities as a borrower while going through the lending process? What are my responsibilities? And so let's talk about that, the responsibilities that you have as a borrower. And folks, I have to tell you, there are about 15 things that you should not do when applying for a home loan. And this is so important. So take a note of these things, because they could impact your ability to qualify for a home or to stay qualified even through the process. It has happened. People have gotten approved, gotten under contract, and as a result of making a very serious mistake financially, were not able to close. And can you imagine how disappointing that is? To get that far in the process, and because they went out and did something, they're now not able to buy. It happens all the time, folks. It does. And so I certainly hope tonight I will encourage someone not to make that mistake. Don't do the same thing that many others have done in the past while they get involved in the process. All right, so let's get started here. 15 important things not to do when applying for a home loan. So the first thing you have to understand, that the day you decide to buy a home is also the day that everything else stops. And I call it the financial lockdown. And that's really what it is. You are on financial lockdown. Can I get an amen out there by some of the real estate agents who are watching? You can't do anything financially until you have closed the transaction on your new home. This is so important, and many people don't realize this, but it could result in your loan not being approved. So I'm going to list these things in area of importance, but you may not necessarily agree with the order, but they're all very, very important things that you should not do. So number one is, do not make major purchases like furniture, appliances. I've had people do this in anticipation of buying a home. They see this great sale going on, you know, 90 days or 6 months or 1 year, same as cash, no interest, that kind of thing. Or they decide it's time to upgrade their wedding rings, or to even buy a vehicle to park in that new house, or perhaps even take a vacation involving some type of financing. And folks, I'm telling you, it is a big, big no-no. It's a mistake. It will affect your reserves, which may be needed for you to qualify. It will affect your debt ratio. And as a result of affecting your reserves and debt ratio, you may not maintain or be able to maintain a loan approval. We may have to, in fact, change the program altogether. We may need to ask you to put more money down, which you may not have. A number of things can happen. So I tell you, there's something to be said about paying cash, you know, anyway. When you take on a mortgage, you're taking on typically an expense much larger And it hasn't always been this way. It used to be that, you know, what you were paying in rent would be kind of, you know, more than what you would be paying in a mortgage. Now rent has gotten so high and home values have gotten so high that you're still going to pay more. You're not going to save money by going from renting to buying a home. You're probably going to be paying more money. The difference is you're going to own the home. And you have tax benefits associated with the interest you're paying and the property taxes and all these other things. But the point I'm making here is that your expenses are going to go up. And the last thing you need to bring into this new debt, the largest debt you're going to have probably in your life, are additional bills like furniture bills and appliances and financing jewelry and vehicles. You know, your goal should be, before you buy the home, to get debt free. And if you can't make that happen before you buy, to work on getting debt free while you're in the process, or even if you actually close on the transaction, to still work on eliminating debt so you can make that mortgage payment more affordable and save money. Now, I have to tell you, here at The Power Is Now, we focus on first-time homebuyers. We do a lot of business with first-time homebuyers. And it's rare that we see a first-time homebuyer have, you know, gobs of cash, extra money aside after they bought a home. In fact, our average client, when they close, they're practically broke. They literally are. They're pulling cash from every resource possible to make it happen. In fact, they're using down payment assistance because they don't really even have enough cash. And so to bring in debt is just a mistake, a big mistake. Number two, do not change or quit your job during the loan process. Do not change your employment status to an independent contractor with your current employer during the loan process. This has happened. By the way, folks, I'm not sharing anything that could happen. I'm sharing things that have actually happened. All right, I've been at this for 36 years. I have literally seen everything. And there are some people on the, I mean, like Craig Johnson, extraordinary mortgage professional out there in Orange County. He will admit to this. I mean, we have seen it all, folks. People make these mistakes. And so it's like, this is an orientation for those of you who haven't gotten started yet. I'm telling you, do not change jobs. If you're thinking about making a job move, you need to do it now before you start the process. Do not change your employment status. If you've been working with this company and now they want to pay you a whole lot more money if you go and become an independent contractor, tell them to wait, all right? Because you're in the middle of a loan or you're getting ready to buy a home. Let me tell you what the impact is. When you go from employment to self-employment or independent contractor, which is the same thing, you have to have 2 years of employment. We need 2 years of tax returns. And if you're just getting started, your income may not be sufficient enough to qualify as a self-employed person. And you certainly don't have the seasoning. All programs, FHA, VA, Fannie, Freddie, all require a minimum of 2 years of employment for a low-interest 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. Now, it doesn't mean you still can't get a loan. There are non-prime programs that don't have that requirement. They require at least 10 to 20% down if you have really good credit, all right? If you don't, if you're in the low FICO scores of, say, the low 600s, you could need at least 25% down if you don't want them to look at your tax returns or hold the limited time you've been self-employed against you, all right? So if you want an FHA, VA, Fannie, Freddie, low-interest 30-year fixed-rate mortgage, you need to keep your job. Do not change your type of employment. Do not make a job change. Now, in some cases, a job change is okay, but you need to consult a mortgage professional about it. For example, if you are an accountant and you work for KMPG or you work for some large accounting firm and another accounting firm is offering you a lot more money, take the job, all right? Take the job, absolutely. Now, the one thing you may want to, again, consult with your mortgage professional, because if there is anything written in your contract, or if in the employment verification process we learn that you are on probation, that it's a probationary period or something like that, then you may be required to wait until your probation period is over and you are actually, you know, legit and gainfully employed with your new employer. If none of that's going on, then we may not have a challenge because you're staying in the same line of work. Now, if you are an accountant and you decide you want to start your own firm and take all the clients from your current employer with you, right? People do that. Then we have a problem because now you've gone from employment to self-employment, and that's going to affect your loan approval. So, folks, if you have any questions about anything that I'm saying right now, please do not hesitate to ask in the chat room. This is good information, I'm telling you, and it will save you a lot of heartache and disappointment if you will just listen to what I'm saying. Number three, do not withdraw, deposit, or move large amounts of money in and out of your bank account without approval from your mortgage professional. OMG. You know, I had a client one time do a cash withdrawal on their credit card for their earnest money deposit. I couldn't believe it. I've had clients get cash from their safe, because a lot of people keep money in the, you know, under the mattress, in a safe, in a coffee can, in their dresser. They just keep cash. There's nothing wrong with keeping cash. The problem is we can't use it in the mortgage transaction. Do not deposit large amounts of money in and out of your bank account, especially cash. Do not make large withdrawals from your bank account. And there's a reason for this. We have to be able to explain everything that's going on with your bank account. We're going to require at least 2 months of your bank accounts, a minimum of 2 months. And so we're looking at the beginning balance, we're looking at the ending balance, and then we're looking at everything that has happened in between. We see large deposits, we need to know where the money came from. If we see cash deposits, forget about it. We don't even care where the money came from. We can't count it. Period. End of story. If you are counting on that money for the down payment, well, we have a problem. All right? So making large deposits, we have to source where that money came from. And I mean, the sourcing is pretty challenging. We just closed a transaction with a young man, and what he would do, he's a contractor, and he would get paid on the job, and he would put the money for this job, say the initial requirement for to start the work, in one account just for that project. And then he would take the money out of that account that he's going to pay himself with his draw, because minus that is the money he needs for the construction. He would take that money and make a cashier's check and put that in his safe. And then from time to time, he would take that cashier's check and deposit it in a personal account, another account. And then from that account, he would transfer money to another account. Folks, this is a true story. We just closed a transaction like this. Making heads or tails of his bank accounts was like being in a maze, honestly. We ultimately could not use any of his accounts. We had to use his business account where the money initially came in so that we could actually source where the money was coming from. And so sourcing the money is very, very important. It is. It's best to just start saving your money for the down payment in a savings account. So that account has very little to no activity. All the monies you're going to need for your down payment and closing costs, put in a savings account. If you've got a lot of things going on, you know, you do some flea market business on the side, you know, you got all kinds of side hustles happening and you're bringing cash in and out. Well, that's not the account that we want to use. The monies that you're saving and it's being seasoned. By the way, seasoning means time. We need seasoning. We need at least 2 months of seasoning on your bank account on the monies we're using for the down payment. If we can't track the money, if the money is not seasoned, we cannot use the money. Number four, let me check here. Oh, Jazz is asking if this information would be applicable in other states. Absolutely, Jazz. This information is applicable in all 50 states, including Guam and all the other, you know, islands. This is applicable where there's FHA loans being done, Fannie or Freddie. These guidelines are applicable across the board. The only time they would not be applicable is when you are dealing in a non-prime, or we'll call it even a private equity situation where they don't care about these kinds of rules. But loans that are sold to the secondary market, they care very much about these rules, and they're very, very important. Number four, do not pay off debts or collections unless instructed to do so by a mortgage professional. I'll tell you a story. I had this client this a few years ago. His FICO score was 680. Unfortunately, this is a cash and carry guy. He had not used his credit cards in years. He had one collection account on his account and no activity on the other credit cards. But he decided he was going to pay off that collection account. Well, as soon as he paid off that collection account, his score went to zero. And it went to zero because he had no activity on his accounts whatsoever. He had to go out and get a Capital One card, in fact, three Capital One cards, so he could have at least three trade references. We had to wait 3 months for him to make at least three payments for him to get a score on his credit report. So you'd be surprised that if you've not been active on your credit report, even paying off a collection account could pose a problem. Now you say, well, Eric, how does that make any sense? Why shouldn't a person pay off their collection account? Well, some collection accounts aren't even required to be paid off. In fact, if you are purchasing a home using FHA, you can have up to $2,000 in medical collection accounts and not pay them, all right? Use that money towards a down payment. And you can make arrangements on collection accounts. Instead of paying it off, make payments. Believe it or not, when you pay off a collection account, it can actually drop your score. Even if you have a lot of other good credit and something pops on, it can actually drop your score because now it shows it goes from an open collection account to a pay collection account, and that actually will have a negative impact on your score. I know it doesn't sound right, doesn't make sense, but that's the truth. The other thing, too, is that we may need the money. Again, you have to really follow the direction of the mortgage professional. We may need the money. We have to weigh your score, perhaps going up or going down, with the money you need to close. And we can run what is called a credit analyzer to determine what will happen if you pay off that credit card or that collection account. The credit analyzer is a wonderful tool that we use here. We use it for people whose FICO scores typically are too low for the program they want, and we can literally find out within a few minutes what they have to do, pay off in order to get their score up, pay down to get their score up, or maybe add to. If we can even find out through a what-if scenario what new credit they could add to their credit profile to increase their FICO score. Now, in most cases, we do this so a person can qualify for the loan in the first place. Sometimes we'll do it in order to increase the FICO score to lower their interest rate. I mean, if you're at 720 and we can give you a better rate at 740, or you can get a greater interest credit at 740, why not find out what it would take to go to 740? And you know, here's the good news. For about $30, it's about $7 or $8 per credit bureau. You can find out what it takes to improve your FICO score. And instead of paying hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars to so-called credit repair agencies, you can find out just working with your lender, and most lenders have this program, exactly what you need to do to improve your FICO score. So do not pay off debts. Do not pay off collections. Let us tell you what to do. It could have an adverse effect on your loan. Number five, let me take a look here and see if I have any other questions. Let's see here. No questions here. So if you have any questions, do not hesitate to ask. Number five, avoid using cash for a good faith deposit. Cash is difficult to verify and could result in a closing delay. We had a situation happen, and I told you about one client who did a cash advance from his credit card for the deposit. And that's one problem, right? And the problem is you can't borrow the down payment on any loan. And that's why we couldn't use it. It was considered a loan for the down payment. That can happen. In this particular case, the person took cash they had in their home and they got a cashier's check, is what I'm trying to say, and deposited that in escrow. Well, the problem with a cashier's check is that a cashier's check is cash. It's not looked at as a source like a check written from a bank account. And even if it was a check, we need to make sure the money is in the account for that check and that is going to clear on, and that money has been there for at least 2 months. The same thing with cash. You can't take cash, go make a cashier's check, and provide that to escrow. That won't work either. We need to know where you got the cashier's check and from what account you got it. And if you didn't get it from an account, it came from your cash at home, then we can't use it. So avoid using cash for a good faith deposit. Number six, do not have your credit report pulled once you start the loan process. This is so important because everything is FICO driven. Everything is FICO driven. And folks, for example, we have a down payment assistance program that will give you the money for the down payment, all right? If your income is around 120% of the area median income, they'll give you a grant. If it exceeds that, they'll give you a loan. But you have to have a minimum score of 620, and that's your middle score, 620. 619, we can't help you. 620, 621, we can help you. There are other programs. The state of California has a program that will give you a loan for the down payment and a loan for the closing costs. If you're a teacher, they'll give you an extra $15,000 as a grant to help with closing costs and down payment assistance. But you got to have a minimum FICO score of 640. 639 is not going to cut it. It's got to be 640 or higher. So understanding that, do you realize that pulling your credit report can result in your credit score going down from as little as 1 to 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 points to as much as 10 or 15 points. If you've just been shopping for a mortgage, then if that's all you're doing, you can actually have your credit run multiple times and there'll be minimal impact, a couple of points here or there on your score, provided it's just shopping for a mortgage. So I know that mortgage professionals will tell you all the time, if they've gotten you to move forward with the process and they've run your credit report, they'll use a fear tactic and say, well, you don't want to shop anymore because if you run your credit again, your score is going to drop. It could drop 10 or 15 points and then you won't qualify. So I guess you're stuck with me. It's simply not the case. You can shop for a loan. The credit bureaus will not penalize you for shopping for a mortgage. Here's where the problem comes into play. When you apply for a mortgage loan and then you saw something shiny and flashy come across the TV screen, and you want to buy that at QVC, and so you apply and you finance that, or you're in the mall and you see that shiny jewelry or that watch and you get it on credit, or you're driving by and you see that beautiful Lexus at the Lexus dealership and you pull in and you want to trade in your current Lexus and get another one. Well, it's those types of inquiries that are not mortgage related that could have a dramatic impact on your FICO score. We're not talking about a movement of 1 to 5 points. We're talking 15, 10, 20 points because now the credit bureaus are seeing this as a risk to the lenders, to all the lenders. Hey, you're borrowing and you're representing a much higher risk because of the amount of borrowing you're doing, the attempts that you're making to borrow. So do not have your credit report pulled once you start the loan process. My recommendation is that you do your homework up front. Spend time with your mortgage professional. Get to know the person because let me tell you something. You know, today with the internet, you know, transparency is whether a lender or individual wants to be transparent or not, they can't help it. We all live on the internet now. I mean, everybody can see everything. And as a result of this, it's making me as a broker, it's really making the value proposition that mortgage brokers bring that much better, you know, because as a broker, I operate on a wholesale basis and I can go to my computer screen and I can look at the rates and the cost and the underwriting criteria of hundreds of different lenders, right? I can do the shopping you can do, but on steroids. I mean, I can talk to hundreds by email and by, you know, instant messaging and through all this technology that's available today, and I can find the best program for you. And I could identify that program and submit your loan one time and get it done, right? You, on the other hand, if you do it on your own, you go to one bank and then you go to another bank and you go to another bank, and then you got to make a decision because you might at the most have time to call 2 or 3 or maybe 4 banks before you get a comfort level with someone, and then you've got to choose. Unless you decide to let all 4 run your credit report, right? And then you still got to choose what's going to happen. And here's the irony. none of the scores or none of the interest rates they're quoting you are good for more than that day. And you're not in a position to even take advantage of those interest rates because you haven't even started the loan process. And perhaps the time of the day, it may even be too late to even lock in a rate. And so it's just consumers are at a terrible disadvantage. That's why it's highly recommended you use a broker. You know, I use an insurance broker to get my insurance. I use a stock broker to buy stock. I use brokers for just about everything. I'm going to start using a car broker. I've never used a car broker before. I just understand the value I bring in insurance brokers. I'm going to start using a car broker for my next purchase. I don't have the time to shop. You tell them what they want. They find what you want, the price you want it, and they deliver it. And that's what we do as a mortgage broker. And so when you are doing your initial investigative process, get to know the person, get to know the company, and make your decision on that. Because at the end of the day, this is all about trust. Do you believe and trust this person is going to be acting in your best interest and doing the very best they can for you? Because at the end of the day, no lender can arbitrarily select an interest rate for you. No lender can raise or decrease an interest rate for you. It's illegal, first of all, because we have to treat every customer the same. Every lender is going to give you the very best rate that your credit and your debt ratio and qualifications and the down payment will allow. Your interest rate is dependent upon your FICO score, your down payment. All of those factors come into play. It's all done through a highly sophisticated pricing engine that determines it. Loan officers sitting in the bank don't control it. Mortgage brokers having access to thousands of lenders don't control it. You control it by bringing to us the very best credit you can and with limited debt and the largest down payment you can, and then we will get you the best deal we can. So how you hurt yourself is by, you know, breaking some of the rules I've just talked about and doing additional shopping for other things outside of the mortgage, which can impact your score. Number 7, do not accept new credit card offers or increases in your credit limit on your existing credit cards without approval of your mortgage professional. Oh my God, this is so important. Some people are under the impression that if they send you the card, that you didn't apply for it, so just go ahead and sign and take it, right? Big mistake. You're adding on another trade line, which could increase or decrease your score. And if you use that trade line, some of these cards will charge your card right away their annual fee. So already now you're taking on a balance. Do not be enticed. Remember I said at the outset that when you start the loan process, you are on financial lockdown, folks. You are on financial lockdown. You can't do anything until it's done. And by the way, do not be mistaken that I'm only talking about when you're under contract. I'm talking about when you are first pre-approved and you haven't even found a home yet. When we issue a pre-approval, we tell our clients that if you deviate from anything in your credit score, your income, if you bring on any debt, our pre-approval is null and void. It is in writing. We can no longer stand behind you or ensure that your loan will be accepted by the lender. So do not accept new credit card offers. Just set them aside until the home is closed. And then you might want to really take a look at what you're doing. If you're going to bring a better card on with a lower interest rate, that's one thing. Get rid of the one that had the higher interest rate, upgrade your credit score. You definitely need to talk to a financial counselor and making decisions like that. Just don't willy-nilly accept a new credit card because you have one. And don't just willy-nilly increase your credit limit because you can. Now, in some cases, it might be a good idea to do that if it's going to result in your credit utilization being lower. So your FICO score is based on your utilization of credit. And of course, in addition to, there are many other factors like the timely payment of your credit card payments, but the utilization of credit. For example, your credit card debt should not be any greater than 30% of your limit. And so don't be mistaken to think that if you have a credit card with a $5,000 limit, that you can actually charge up to $5,000 and it not impact your score. Your real limit is not 5,000. Your real limit is 1,500. And as soon as you go to 1,501, you're going to see a drop in your score. It could be as little as 5 points or as much as 10 to 15 points in your score because of credit utilization. Your scores across the board should never exceed 30% of your limit at any time if you want to maintain the highest credit score.
You're listening to The Power Is Now. For more information about the show, go to thepowerisnow.com or find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. I want you to take a minute off work and sit back. Relax. Now, imagine you're part of our VIP agent program. One of our many steps in the marketing strategy to get you more exposure on all of your listings is a radio interview with you regarding all of them. That's right. Every listing you have, we'll cover. Because it's what we do. We ensure VIP agents receive the VIP treatment they deserve and work hard for. Find us at thepowerisnow.com under the membership tab and let us make you a VIP agent today. Thepowerisnow.com. Endless possibilities. Who doesn't want to be a superstar? I know you would. I also know you're working hard to be the best real estate agent you can be. But is that enough? Are you a superstar? Well, you should be. Join The Power Is Now and make your path to superstardom as short as it can be. Find us at thepowerisnow.com. Get interviewed on The Power Is Now radio today and multiply your media exposure now. Thepowerisnow.com, bringing out the superstar in you. Interested in upping your game today? The Power Is Now believes in personal development, and we want to make it happen for you right now. Whether it's business, family, spiritual, motivational, or even marriage, we have the tools and information to help you take your game to a whole new level. Find us at thepowerisnow.com under the Services tab, and let's talk about the future. Your future, because the power is in your hands. Thepowerisnow.com, because we care. Welcome back to The Power Is Now and your host, Eric Frazier.
Number 8, do not accept an offer to refinance your current auto loan or trade in your existing auto for a new vehicle under any circumstances without consulting your mortgage professional. I tell you folks, this happens all the time. Now, I have had a situation where I actually told someone to do this. In an effort to help them qualify, we needed to get rid of that crazy high auto payment. The payment was like $800 a month. They had been making the payment now for about almost 2 years, and so they had reestablished their credit. They had an opportunity to reduce their payment almost in half, which obviously increased the loan amount they could qualify for pre-approval. So there are instances where your mortgage professional will tell you, we need to refinance your auto loan so that you can qualify for a larger loan amount. Or they may tell you, you need to trade in that car and get another car much cheaper and less expensive. Or perhaps you need to sell the car and go lease a car, although I'm not a fan of leases, but at least if you absolutely need a car and we're trying to get you into a home, you may have to make some sacrifices. Now, for those of you who've been following me, you know this. You already know what I'm going to say. I do not believe in leasing or financing vehicles pay cash, right? But some of you don't have the cash, and we have to take the best of both worlds, the best of both evils here. I'd rather you hold on to the cash and buy a house and get into something short term that you're going to finance. All right. So a 2 or 3 year lease on something between $150 to $200. I mean, there are cars you can lease, believe it or not, for the $150 to $200, $300. I see them advertised on the television all the time. They're Fords, they're Chevys. You know, it can be done. I'm not a proponent of this, But for someone who does not have any money or just a couple of thousand dollars, you can't find a hoopty at the auction that you can just stomach or handle for another year or two, then that might be an alternative, especially if it's going to mean significantly reducing that auto debt. Let me tell you something, folks. Car payments are perhaps the number one reason why we have to delay someone from buying a home. We don't say no. We don't say any. We never say no here at The Power Is Now. You come here, we never say no. Did you hear what I just said? We never say no. There is a plan for everyone. We will give you a plan. We'll put you in our home buyers club. We will hold your hand. We will walk you to you through the process until you are ready to go. All right? We never say no. Get The Power Is Now. We may say, not now. You're not ready yet. And this is why this is what we need to do. And so for many people, it's about paying down the auto loan or refinancing the auto loan or selling the car altogether and buying something cash if they have the money to do that. I mean, if you can get rid of your car, let me tell you right now, if you're a first-time home buyer and you have a $500,000, $600,000 car payment, you need to get rid of that thing now. You need to get rid of that thing as quickly as you possibly can. And if you're upside down, which most of the time you are, and you're stuck with it, then you need to look at a way of redoing that auto loan before you start this process, or you can apply and we can tell you what to do, but redo that thing to get that payment down as low as possible. You know, another thing you can do is that you can get some commercial insurance on the car and rent it out to Uber drivers. You know, there are Uber drivers out there who are driving cars, making a living that do not belong to them. They're literally renting a car from a family member or a friend. They've gotten the right type of insurance to protect themselves. They get the Uber approval, what have you. And they're paying the owner of the vehicle $300 a week, $400 a week for the use of their car to do Uber, to drive Uber. And so that's one way to put that debt to work. Now, don't get me wrong. We can't count that income. I wish we could, because it's a business and you just started it. And we're still going to hit you with the payment. And so it's still a good idea to do whatever else you can with the vehicle to eliminate the payment or get it as low as possible. And then some other unique creative strategies is putting the car to work. Instead of it being a liability, turn it into an asset, an income-producing asset, if you can. And then save up your money, or if you have the money, go out and buy something cash or finance something much more affordable with the lowest possible payment if you must. Finance a car. All right. So do not accept an offer to refinance a current auto loan or trade in your existing vehicle without consulting your mortgage professional. Very, very important. Number nine, do not accept cash gifts for down payment assistance under any circumstances. Do not accept cash gifts. The first thing the underwriter is going to think is you're doing something illegal. All right. If they see a whole lot of cash deposits, then you've got something going on that is either illegal or it's a business that we simply cannot count. You're not showing the type of business on your application. You know, it's a problem. And so if your relative wants to give you a gift, then it needs to be a check from a bank account from which we need to see a copy of the statement. All right? So if Uncle Johnny is going to give you $10,000 for a down payment, it can't be cash. Uncle Johnny needs to first complete a gift letter in which it states very clearly that it is a gift and not a loan and not subject to repayment. Secondly, Uncle Johnny needs to provide us a statement to show that he had the money to give. And yes, we're going to look at that statement very closely. We're looking at Uncle Johnny's beginning balance and ending balance. We want to see if you gave Uncle Johnny the cash because you got the money stuffed in a cabinet someplace, and now Uncle Johnny has kind of washed it and seasoned it for you to give you a gift. All right? Let me tell you something. Underwriters were born, you know, at night, but not last night. All right? They weren't born last night. Some of these underwriters are very, very smart. And always remember, and this applies to everything in life, never underestimate your opponent. You know, you're better off just thinking that your opponent is smarter than you are, actually, and that you probably need to think of the very best strategy you can to win the game to get what you need, just assuming they know as much as you know, all right? That they are as slick as you are, all right? That's what I think. I mean, especially doing loans, I never assume that I'm smarter than the underwriter. At a minimum, I want to be as smart as the underwriter and anticipate what they're going to think and what they're going to need so that my loans get approved the first time and without any issues. All right, so do not accept a cash down payment. Folks, I tell you, you're just causing yourself some problems. Let me look here through and see if I see any questions. Folks, if you got any questions, do not hesitate to ask me in the chat room. Number 10, do not give notice to your landlord if you're under contract until after the loan has closed and you have been given the keys. Oh my God. In my 36 years, man, oh man, oh man. I remember at Wells Fargo, we had this couple do this and there was a problem at the end and they were living, the truck was parked in front of the house they were going to buy for 2 weeks. They had to live in a hotel because they had given their apartment away. Folks, this stuff is happening. In fact, I'd be willing to bet right now there's somebody somewhere in the world who has done this, and they may be listening to us right now from their iPhone or iPad sitting in that moving truck because they made this mistake. Do not give notice to your landlord until the deal is done, folks. And I know what you're thinking. Heck, you've scratched the last dime you've had to get into this house. You have no money. You do not want to pay another dime in rent if you do not have to. I get it. Let me tell you something. It is not worth the pain and suffering you're going to have when you're looking at your wife or wife, you're looking at your husband and says that, you know what, something happened and we can't close. I don't know what happened. That doggone lender, I don't know why they keep coming up with stuff at the last minute. Now this has happened. You know, the truth of the matter is things happen. It may not be your lender's fault. It may not be the seller's fault. You know, things happen. Let me tell you the most common issue that's neither the lender's fault or your fault. It's the seller. The seller is trying to sell his house so you can buy his house. And guess what happened? The guy buying his house couldn't perform. Now you can't move because he can't move. And he's not going to be out in the street. And so, I mean, anything can happen. I tell you, if it can go wrong, it may go wrong. I won't say it will go wrong, but if it can go wrong, it may go wrong. And so why put yourself out there? So I highly recommend that you just don't do that. You know, if the house is going to close, I mean, here we are at middle of April. So if you're in a process right now and it's scheduled to close April 1st or, you know, April 30th or May 1st, let it close and pay the rent, right? When you get the keys on May 2nd, and you start making arrangements, now you're not under so much stress, all right? You got to give your landlord notice anyway. Give him 30 days notice. Now you got to be out by the 1st of June. Guess what? If you closed in May, if you closed April 30th, you won't have a payment due until June 1st anyway on the new home. So don't try to manipulate the situation where you can have 1 month free of not having a mortgage payment or rent, all right? Just forget about it. Anticipate that you're going to pay rent until you can't pay rent anymore. And the next month, instead of rent, it's going to be the mortgage payment. Just know that there is no break in between. There is no break in between. You want to give your notice when the house is closed and the landlord is giving you the keys. And then you want to be very organized and disciplined as you make your move out. You want to get your deposit back, clean up the place, fix the stuff that's broken so you can get all your money back, and then plan. You know, maybe you want to go to the house and paint some rules. You know, you've got kids. You don't want to be around all that work that's going on, the oil in the paint, the messiness. Maybe you want to put in a yard. Maybe you want to change out fixtures. Maybe there's some things you want to do to the house. Now you have time to get it done without having to do it while you're all there and unpacking. It just makes sense. Don't be cheap. There's a thing called being penny wise and dollar foolish. And most people are that way. And I know why you're that way, because you're broke. I get it. You just closed. You used every dime you had in savings and you're broke. Well, this is not the way to save the extra money. Number 11. We're getting close, y'all. We're getting close. Number 11. Do not incur student loan debt during the process or any amount during the process, even if the payment is now deferred without approval of your mortgage professional. Now, you know, I am thinking about going back to school. I have a master's degree in finance, and I've applied to teach at Cal Baptist University in their business school, finance and management. And so I'm waiting to hear back from them on that because I love teaching. I'm on staff at UCR to teach e-commerce of all things, all godforsaken classes. I hate it. And I'm moving on. So anyway, though, I'm thinking about going and get my doctorate, a doctorate in business administration. And Cal Baptist has a 2-year program, 2 years of classwork, and then you have up to 2 or 3 years to complete your dissertation and get your doctorate in business administration. I'm seriously thinking about that. And it runs about, I don't know, $50,000, $60,000. Now, here's the thing. Now, if I'm buying a house right now, if I'm thinking about buying a house, I don't want to, and I'm also thinking about going back to school, it would be foolish of me to not close on the house before I start this program. Because even though I can get a student loan to pay for this education and not have any payments, the lender has to count that payment. And not just a deferred payment, they have to find out, we'll have to contact the Student Aid Commission, find out what the fully amortized 25-year, 10-year, 15-year payment is going to be, and add that to my debt ratio. That doggone payment for that great education that I'm looking to get may be the reason why I don't buy the home now, because I don't qualify because of my debt ratio. So if you're thinking about going back to school, all right, you need to make a choice between going back to school and starting the process right now or buying a home right now. You cannot do both. You cannot do both. Another thing, too, is that if you are in the deferred process of buying, if you have a student loan and the student loan is currently deferred, we have to find out. You can keep it deferred if you want to, but we're going to hit you for 1% of that. So just the other day, we have a person with a student loan, $100,000. We had to hit her with 1% of that per month. It's $1,000 a month added to her debt ratio. In fact, I think she owes more than that. It's like $140,000. And so obviously, adding an extra $1,000 to her debt ratio created a problem, right? And so now she had to contact FedServe and find out what is the payment if she gets onto a level fixed 25-year plan. And some will go 25 years, some will go less than that. And the payment was a little less, not that much less, but it was less. And it does make a difference in terms of her qualifying. And so a bottom line, folks, you don't want to incur any student loan debt while you're starting the process. And if you're in the process and you have student loan debt, you don't want to do anything to the debt, all right? We had one client try to consolidate all of her debt, and that could potentially create a problem because the debt then begins to reflect differently on your credit report. These changes in your credit report will have an impact on your credit score. In addition to having an impact on your credit score, these changes could result in a higher payment depending on what you're doing. Again, you're on lockdown, folks. Don't do anything with any debt without consulting a mortgage professional. Number 12, do not change the status of your student loan debt if you're making payments to a deferred status without your mortgage professional. Now, so under number 11 is making, the deferred payment is not, we can't count the deferred payment. Under number 12, changing to a deferred payment will not help you either, all right? So if you're making payments, continue to make payments, all right? Don't think that by going to a deferred status that we're not going to have to count that, all right? We have to count it, all right? It does impact your debt ratio. I was reading something the other day that student loan debt is at a record high. It's like trillions of dollars of student loan debt, and it's making it very difficult for young people to buy a home as a result of it. And we're hoping that there'll be some changes in the underwriting guidelines with Fannie Mae or with, actually, I believe Freddie Mac has already made some changes, but FHA needs to make some changes to be more accommodating to student loan debt. A student should be able to defer their debt and not count in the loan if that deferral can be at least 3 to 5 years. They should treat that student loan debt like we treat a passive income, like child support and alimony or interest income. We have to prove that that income is going to be continuing for at least 3 years. Well, if a person can show that their deferred, that their student loan debt can be deferred from payment for at least 3 to 5 years, then we should not have to count that in their debt ratio. I'm hoping that the federal government will adopt a policy like that, because it would be in line with how passive income is treated. And it also, I think, represents the spirit of student debt and the deferred process. And that is that they're willing to defer repayment of the debt because they're anticipating that over the next 3 to 5 years, they will matriculate in their profession and they will be making much more money to be able to afford that debt or perhaps even extinguish that debt. And there are many programs out there that will wipe out the debt completely, especially for teachers and people working in civil government and doing special types of work. There are programs that will eliminate the debt after a certain period of time. So there definitely needs to be some work in this area. Write your local congressman. Perhaps, you know, we should all get together and write a bill or something, or do something to bring these ideas to the to HUD and to Fannie and Freddie. Number 13, do not start looking for a home to purchase until you have been pre-approved and you're clear on how much you need for the down payment. All right? Now, this is very fundamental, but a lot of people will start looking for a home, find the home, and then start the loan approval process, only then to be thoroughly disappointed that they don't qualify for the home they found. You know, it's very important that you follow the process. You know, there are some things that you have to do first before you even get pre-approved. I would highly recommend that you go meet with a HUD-approved counseling agency and you sit in their 8-hour class and learn about budgeting money. Learn about the expenses associated with owning a home. Learn about taxes and insurance and learn about the home buying process. HUD-approved counseling agencies are just such a great resource, totally underutilized by many people. I highly recommend it. I sit on the board of directors for the Fair Housing Council of Riverside, and they conduct every month first-time home buyer 8-hour certification classes, which are required for many down payment assistance programs with counties and cities and with the state of California. You have to have that certificate. And I participate. I am invited to come and to speak on the mortgage loan process. And you have industry leaders coming from various departments, title, escrow, you know, home inspectors, home warranty. They all come and they share their knowledge on the process and what each of these things mean. And then the HUD counselors go through a very comprehensive budgeting process, understanding the expenses. And I think that's the first thing you need to do, is sit in a HUD-approved counseling class for 8 hours. Yes, it's going to knock out your whole Saturday. There are some online programs you can do as well from the comfort of your home. If you want more information about that, please reach out to me, and I'll be happy to direct you. In fact, the state of California has an online platform. Most HUD-approved counseling agencies have live classrooms. Depends on how you learn, all right? We'll determine how you get that information. So I would start there first. Because once you start there, you're going to know you're ready. Secondly, for those of you who don't, perhaps you've been there and you see that you need help, right? Because that's a downside to the HUD-approved counseling agencies. They tell you where you're at and how perhaps ill-prepared you are or prepared you are, right? And then that's it, right? There's nothing else after that. Here at the Powers Now, we have a program called the Home Buyers Club, where we will go further. We help you with a budget. It's called, we use mint.com. We help you establish a budget so you can actually see where you need to cut and save money and just bring your spending under control. We help you establish a debt elimination plan, a credit restoration plan, and a savings plan. All right? 3 different plans and a budget, and we do that for free. Now, if you need coaching, we provide coachings as well. It's a monthly coaching program where we will spend between 45 minutes to an hour with you every single month, and we will go over your budget, we will go over your savings plan, your debt elimination plan, your credit restoration plan. We will hold you accountable to the goals that you've set for yourselves, and we will be that added pressure to keep you on task so that you can achieve your goal of home ownership. Now, that program is not free. There's a setup fee and a monthly fee, and it's so affordable and so worth it. To get this type of hands-on coaching, you would normally spend several hundred dollars a month for this because of time. Time is money. And if you're dealing with an experienced, credentialed professional, they do not come cheap, all right? They do not. And so this is part of, you know, who we are as a company. It's part of our mission to help people, to educate people, to empower people, to provide them the resources they need, right, so that they can become homeowners. We make the American dream of homeownership a reality by hands-on help and by real resources, from information to support, through the actual product and services to make homeownership a reality. So get help. Get help. Get clear on what you're doing, why you're doing it. Get the pre-approval. Know exactly what you qualify for. And then once you know exactly what you qualify for, the final step, there's one more step. And understanding what you qualify for, you have to get clear on what you want to buy, right? A lot of people have champagne tastes and beer budgets. Champagne tastes and beer budget. And so I know you want this beautiful single family home, but maybe you need to settle for a condominium, right? Or I know you want this great condominium in this great area with all these wonderful amenities. Perhaps you need to look at a manufactured home, all right? So you need to get really clear on what you can afford, because what you're pre-approved for may be much more than what you can afford. Just because we can pre-approve you for $500,000, $600,000 doesn't mean you can afford it. This is why the whole budgeting process, the homeownership, the HUD class is so important, so you can really get clear on where you need to be. Now, if you intend on buying, and this is number 14, if you intend on buying a condominium, a townhome, or any property with Mellow Roofs or homeownership association dues, please let your mortgage professional know before the loan approval. This happens to us all the time, as that is, a person is pre-approved, and all we're thinking, a single-family residence, well, we used to think this way. We've made some changes ourselves, and I'll share that in a minute. But we're thinking they're telling us they want to buy a home. They get out there in the market with their pre-approval for $400,000. They can't get their offer accepted. They can't find anything. And so now they start looking at condominiums, and they don't tell us. What they don't realize is that the pre-approval is for a single-family home, and we have maxed them out. Their debt ratio is at the absolute limit, just so we can give them a high enough loan to even get it, to be in the market, to be in the game. I mean, people are getting priced out every single day, folks. Every single day, they're getting priced out because property values are going higher and higher. And in fact, we're entering into the summer months, and you realize that real estate will sell at its peak prices in the summer months. If you don't buy right now, you are going to pay more in the summer. No question about it. Ask anybody who's been selling real estate, and they will tell you what I'm saying is the truth. And so if you're already maxed out at $400,000 on a single family, do you think that you can qualify for a $400,000 condo? No, you cannot. The homeowners association dues might be $250 a month, and that's enough to push you over. Or the Mellow Roofs might be, you know, a couple hundred or $300 a month. You just never know. And so we need to know up front if you're going to buy a condominium, a townhouse, or any single family home, a PUD, a planned unit development, where there could be association dues. We need to know. We need to be able to just give us a number to work with so we can tell you what you're going to have. Now, here at The Powers Now, when you get pre-approved with us, if it's possible, because sometimes it's not possible, we will pre-approve you for a four-unit building and for a single-family home, and if you express to us you want to buy a condominium and a condominium, and we will have your agent provide us what the average association dues are for condominiums in the area that you're looking for, so that we get our pre-approval right the first time. The last thing we want to see happen is for you to get under contract and you cannot close because we did not anticipate some of these things that you could have shared with us, right? And so often people want to blame the lender because of some issue. And you know what they say, when you point one finger at someone, there's three fingers pointing right back at you. And the reason why they're pointing right back at you, because you're not clear as to what you really want, nor are you even realistic yet on what you can afford. And this is what happens with buyers all the time. They come in with these romantic, platonic, idealistic dreams of homeownership. And as soon as they get into the process, about 2 weeks into the process, it's like they ran into a wall, and they are suffering from traumatic brain injury as a result of it, realizing that, you know, it is not easy. It is not easy. And that you're probably not going to qualify for that dream home, that you're going to have to lower your expectations. You're going to have to look at something that is more affordable, that you really can do. Maybe you can't buy that house. You need to buy a condo. Maybe you can't buy the condo. You have to buy a manufactured home. Maybe you can't do it. You know, the lender is not your enemy. The real estate agent is not your enemy. We are your partners trying to help you fit in where you can get in. You know, that's what we're trying to do. And it takes collaboration, cooperation. It also takes everybody just keeping it real, right? There's nothing wrong with keeping it real, being honest about what your capabilities are, what you can do and cannot do. Just keep it real, right? You know, I tell people all the time too, your first home doesn't have to be a trophy home. You know, we all are, you know, when we start off in life, we graduate from high school and we go to college and we get that great job, you know, we want to show off. You know, we're making really good income, and so we want to step right into a $600,000, $700,000, $800,000 house right out of college, right out of a couple years on the job. When in reality, we should be buying that $300,000 house in the hood, getting into the game. Because guess what that's going to be? Your first rental. Because you're not going to sell it. You're going to keep it and rent it out when you move out of it. Or perhaps you should still be looking at that big $600,000 house, buy a $600,000 or $700,000 four-unit building, move into one unit, and not have a mortgage payment ever again, because the other three units is paying the mortgage, and you're just banking what you would be paying every single month, right? And so it's time to think smart and think long-term. Buy what you can afford. Get in where you fit in. Think about the long run as opposed to the short run. Forget about what other people think, right? Do you. That's the problem with a lot of people, trying to do somebody else. Well, you can't do them as good as you could do you. Just do you, right? And what you see they're doing, well, there's a whole lot of smoke and mirrors behind that. I have to tell you, a whole lot of smoke and mirrors. Can't judge a person by their $20,000 Rolex watch and their $50,000 Mercedes-Benz. Because all it really means that the watch is probably financed and the Mercedes is $50,000 in debt and they have no money in the bank. But they look good. Don't get caught up. All that glitter ain't gold. All right? All that glitter ain't gold. Number 15, work with a VIP agent. Someone who is knowledgeable. Someone who knows what they're doing. And I forgive the typo here. A VIP agent who is knowledgeable about the loan programs you have been approved for and is knowledgeable about the area you're interested in purchasing your home. A VIP agent. You know, that's so important. Your pre-approval is just a financial snapshot of where you are at that day and time that you're pre-approved. Nothing needs to change. You need to work with a real estate professional that knows the market, that knows the program that you're approved for, know what the limitations are, and work very closely with him. Here at The Power Is Now, we are blessed with some incredible agents. Many of them are online with us right now on Facebook. Say hello, everybody. And we're blessed with some great partners out there that work with us, that put on seminars, that invite the community in to hear me speak about the home buying process and about loan programs. You want to work with an agent who is committed to working with buyers, who is passionate about homeownership, that knows the area, that lives in the area, that works the area, and they can tell you where the great deals are. They may even have properties coming on the market that no one else even knows about. I mean, I tell you, you have to find a great agent. And we're blessed here at The Power Is Now of having some incredible agents that work with us. And we're blessed to be partnered with other agents outside of The Power Is Now that utilize us for the programs and the financing we offer. If you've been invited here tonight by a real estate agent, perhaps you received the first-time homebuyer flyer or you were told about this, I want to encourage you to reach out to that agent and let them know you were a part of tonight's seminar and let them know that you're ready to get started. We want you to get that pre-approval and understand what it is. It's just a moment in time. It's a freeze frame of where you are in your life at that moment. And guess what? You got to hold that shot. Have you ever been with all your family and the photographer is there and he's telling everybody he's getting ready to take the shot and everybody needs to hold that smile and hold that position until he gets the shot, right? And then sometimes someone moves or makes a mistake and we got to do it again and we got to do it again and we got to hold that shot until he gets that perfect picture. Well, that's a pre-approval. You got to hold that shot until you buy a home. Nothing can change. Nothing can change. And if there's going to be a change, you have to get your loan officer's approval. You need to make sure that it's going to be okay, or your loan may be denied and your dreams may be dashed. Do not start the process until you're ready to take the process very, very serious. My name is Eric Frazier. And this was before I had all this hair. Check us out. Go to thepowersnow.com. Go to applytobuynow.com, applytobuynow.com, and get started tonight. If you're ready and you want to get started, you want to get pre-approved, go to applytobuynow.com, applytobuynow.com, and get started today. Get pre-approved. If you need help, go to Never Rent Again. That's our homeownership club. And we will help you. We will get you set up on a budget, debt elimination plan, savings plan, credit restoration plan. We will give you all the help you need. We will hold your hand. Want some financial coaching? Sign up for the financial coaching at a very affordable price. We will be with you every step of the way to coach you through this process if you need it. If you don't need it, no problem. We'll give you the plan, manage the plan. Let us know when you're ready. For you who are real estate professionals and you want to partner with us, we have a special website for you. It's called Never Lease Again. Never Lease Again. It's our portal to help you manage your leads and your buyers who you're talking to. You want us to reach out to them? Just go to Never Lease Again. Never Lease Again. And put in your information and then put your client's information and they'll reach out to them and we'll talk to them about any of the programs you select on that page. And we'll bring you up to speed. We'll help you keep you informed of their progress throughout the whole process of getting pre-approved. If they need additional help, we'll inform you about that as well and what we're doing. And by the way, if you become a member of The Power Is Now, which is free, go to thepowersnow.com under membership. There's a free membership. You'll get our magazine. You'll get notifications of our radio shows, notifications of our Facebook Live for the Power Lunch, the online seminar on Tuesday nights, Power Lunch at Tuesday afternoon, and our marketing sessions every Thursday at 12:30. We have a marketing session talking about real estate that's for sale. Now, we won't have one this Thursday because this Thursday I will be at the Riverside Convention Center at the annual Fair Housing Conference of Riverside. And I'm very excited about that. So if you don't know about it, go to fairhousing.net and look under events. You'll find the details about that seminar. It's going to be Thursday from 7:30 to 4:30. A lot of great information about housing and about what has happened since the Fair Housing Act and the Civil Rights Act was passed as it relates to discrimination and helping people get into home or homeownership here in America. So a lot's happening and at The Power Is Now, a lot of resources. On our homepage, by the way, under resources, you'll see real estate resources. There's a number of reports there about the wealth gap. There's a report from the state of California about the housing crisis. A lot of great information. The loan limits are there, by the way, for Fannie, Freddie, HUD, if you want to know what the loan limits are. Folks, we are just a wealth of information. We're here for you. We are. and we want to help you make the American dream of homeownership a reality. And we're doing it every day. So if you're interested in learning more or connecting with me, please reach out to me. You can reach me at 714-475-8629. For those of you listening on Blog Talk Radio, please reach out to me, 714-475-8629. That's a direct number to reach me. It's my cell number. Text me, email me, drop me an email at eric.frazier@thepowersnow.com, or just go to our website. If you need an agent, go to the real estate page on the website, thepowersnow.com. If you're looking to learn more about the loan process, go to the Powers Now Mortgage Services on the homepage of thepowersnow.com. It is all there for you, there for the taking. Well, again, I want to thank everyone for tuning in this evening, and I'm going to take one last survey and see if I have any more questions. I don't have any questions in the Facebook chat area. If you do have a question you want to ask me, just drop me an email or put it in chat, and I'll answer sometime later on tomorrow or even tonight. I'm available. Well, I believe that concludes our show for this evening. Next week, we're going to talk about closing costs. What are closing costs? What do they consist of? And so that's going to be a great show. Tune in next Tuesday night at 7 o'clock to learn about the closing costs on a home loan mortgage. And we're going to talk about the closing costs for both FHA and conventional, government and conventional loans. And then next Tuesday afternoon at 12:30 in the Power Lunch, we will have Anton Thompson, Executive Director of the National Association of Real Estate Brokers. He'll be live on Facebook at 12:30 at the Power Lunch. Please tune in for that. It's going to be a great show. All right. Well, remember, we are at our best, and we maximize our success when we act now. I certainly hope that you've learned a lot tonight and that you will act on what you've learned and get ready to buy a house. Why? Because the power is now. It really is. The power is now to buy. Have a great evening, everyone. Thank you for tuning in tonight. See you soon.
You've been listening to The Power Is Now Radio. For more information about the show, check us out at thepowerisnow.com or find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter.